We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are pleased with our ministry, you may help support it by sending a contribution to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our radio ministry is supported this morning by Charlie and Sharon Walter in memory of their son Charlie's birthday. First, we will have Hebrews 1:1-4. In the past, God spoke of his forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in those days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir to all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior as the angel as the name he had inherited is superior to theirs. Now for Hebrews 2:5-15. It is not angels that he was subjected the world to come, with about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him? A son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than an angel. You crowded him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. By putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subjected to him. But we see Jesus, who was made in a lower than angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered a death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who made holy are those of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am I, and the children of God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all lives have held in slavery by the fear of death. Now for Psalms 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have sent your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have adorned praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than a heavenly being and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and beasts of the field, birds of the air and fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our sermon this morning, Son of Man, Glory of God, by Pastor Angel Abishar.
Good morning. I absolutely love the eighth psalm. In 9 verses, we are taught so much. Out of the mouths of babes, shall we say, little children often have the most wonderful way of teaching us things. And it is my heart's desire that after the first of the year, this church will begin to work on ways that we can reach young children. Whether that is through the children that come into the church, through an after-school program, a tutoring program, or just having some kind of an inner-city ministry where children can feel safe coming here. For when we pass along the seeds of the gospel and it takes root and fruit blooms in the children, we are assured of our future. We are assured of God's word being carried on throughout the generations. In 9 short verses, we are taught reverence for the Lord's majestic name. We are taught the mighty power of praise. We are especially taught how important it is out of the mouths of babes. We are reminded that our Lord is not just the Lord. Our Lord is personal to each and every one of us. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. We are admonished to be good stewards over the creation that he has entrusted to us. I think we might have fallen a little short on that, but I believe most of us are coming around to believing how important it is now. What I really love about this psalm is it gives us a glimpse of just how valuable we are to God. Who am I? Who am I that you, O Lord, should be mindful of me? God has made us fantastic beings with great honor and authority. Our Lord values relationship with us. As a matter of fact, that's what we were created for. We were created to be in relationship with our Lord, personal relationship. We were created to be dependent upon him. We were created to worship him. We were created to take shelter under his wing. We were created to trust him as a cover over us when we are being attacked. We were created to be in relationship with our good and mighty God. There is a song by Casting Crowns that articulates this so well. It articulates our human response to it, and it articulates just how valuable we are to God. The title of it is, Who Am I? You see, God demonstrated how precious we are to him by sending his one and only Son incarnate as a babe that he might feel and experience everything that we have felt. And we cannot separate the Christmas miracle from Good Friday, nor from the resurrection. Because all of this was our good and gracious Father's plan to restore and to redeem and to revive us. Casting Crowns song, Who Am I, says, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor on the wind. Still, you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. Beloved, if you hear nothing else out of this message today, hear, your value is found in whose you are. You belong to God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwells within you. That gives you great value. And as a steward, we are called to share that value with children so they realize just how valuable they are to others, just how precious they are in His sight. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name. Not a one of us created in Your image can fully describe the majestic of Your creation, of Your name, let alone all that You have done for us. Who are we that You, oh Lord, are mindful of us? You are mighty. You are eternal, ever present. Your mystery defies our knowledge, yet it defines our very being. Your love transcends our understanding, yet transforms our existence, our purpose, our very being. We praise Your holy name. We have come together in worship, seeking Your presence among us. We pray that You will grant us a fuller vision of Yourself. We pray for strength, grace, and guidance to live out whatever vision You have for this church and for those in our listening audience. Lord, You are the creator of the heavens and the earth, the moon and the stars, the sheep and the cattle, and all creatures upon the earth. You have a plan and a purpose for this, Your church. Help us, O Lord, to seek Your face, to desire above all else, to truly become a church that is all for Jesus. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. How many here are fully aware that the way children perceive themselves is based upon how we perceive them? Yeah. If we tell them that they're worthless, that they're stupid, that they can't do anything right, that's how they view themselves. If we tell them that they are beautiful, that they are created in God's image, that they are valuable to God, the Most High, that they are so loved by Him, that's how they see themselves. If we tell them they are smart, they are intelligent, and they can be anything they want to be, they grow up to believe that, and they strive towards that. Those of us who have been told things and words have been said to us that are not true, we have to let the great physician cut those things out. And we have to believe with all of our being that when God created us in the womb, He meant for us to be a beautiful human being, and we need to learn to shift and change our thinking. It is so important, the words that we say around young children. It is as important the words that we say to ourselves. I have learned when I do something, I can't say, oh, that was stupid, Angel. Say, okay, sweetie, try it again. Try it again, because words have power. Beloved, words have power. How we speak to ourselves is how we feel about ourselves. We have to remind ourselves daily that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, created in His image, and what we speak of ourselves reflects how we think of Him. And when He offers us forgiveness for what we have done, we need to take it, because who are we to question His handiwork? Jesus Christ came as a babe and grew to be a man, both fully human, experiencing everything that we have experienced, and fully divine. He was utterly, hopelessly dependent upon His Father. He spent frequent times alone with the Father to be sustained by Him so He could fulfill His purpose and His mission here on the church. If He had to do that, what makes us think that we don't have to do that twice or thrice the amount? Though I tend to forget it. Sadly, a lot of children's self-perception is rooted in those around them. Our world is filled with hurting people, raised by hurting or ill-equipped people. Yet that need not define who we are or who we become, even if we're grown. For Jesus tasted death for each and every one of us. We have only to accept the priceless eternal gift that has already been given to us through Christ. We are redeemed, forgiven, and given a new identity, a new story, and a new inheritance. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you've done. I tell people all the time, and then those who have been born and raised in the church come and tell me, don't say that, Pastor. I say, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're drinking. I don't care if you're smoking. I don't care if you're having sex before you get married. Come to the church. That's what I care about. Do you know Jesus? That's what I care about. Do you know Jesus? Do you know how much He loves you? I watched a movie last night. And across the screen, as the movie started, you could hear the narrator's voice. He said, I am thoroughly convinced that when I get to heaven, Jesus will only have one question for me. Did you know? Did you really know that I loved you? I don't know whether or not that'll be, but what I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit go to any lengths possible to let us know how much we are loved as individuals. They reach out, they grab a hold of each one of us individually. They wipe the slate clean over and over and over again. Both of our scripture readings today illustrate just how much God values us. God wants us to realize that we are precious to Him and to see ourselves in the light of His love. He does not want us burdened by shame, burdened by the past, burdened by our character defects and flaws. Sure, we have them, and we need to work on them. And God will help us work on them bit by bit. He loves us enough to not leave us alone. He's going to help us to change and grow more like Him. But He came so that we would be reconciled unto the Father, just as I am without one plea. He did not come to condemn us. That's the evil one. When you start feeling guilt and shame, out loud, turn around and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I am a child of the Most High God." Sing "Jesus Loves Me." Anything. Because that shame will cause you to do things that you're more ashamed of. When you remember how much you are loved and valued, you will respond in that way. The book of Hebrews is addressed to the early church, sometime shortly before the destruction of the temple. The audience? Jewish believers struggling with whether or not to return to the Jewish faith. The author is unknown, but what we do know about the author's intent is that the author strives to encourage the Jewish believers who are being severely persecuted. And like all human beings, change was not comfortable. Doubts arose. Jesus was no longer with them. Memories began to dim. Is he? Was he really the Messiah? Did he really do those miracles? Maybe there was some trick behind it. You know, after a while, we can convince ourselves that we didn't see something that we saw. We didn't feel something that we felt. Did following him mean giving up their old familiar forms of worship? The writer of Hebrews dealt with their doubts by showing them that salvation in Jesus was so much more than the Jewish law. Key verses 1 through 3. The Son reflects God's own glory, and everything about him represents God exactly. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God's final and most perfect revelation. Where once prophets revealed the nature of God, Jesus and his living spirit, the one promised to us upon his ascension, reveals God to us and in us. God has appointed the Son to be heir of all things. His future and his destiny are clear. 1:1-2. Jesus, Son of Man, glory of God, God's perfect revelation, the Alpha and the Omega, the only one capable of the power of recreation, transformation, new identity, stands ready, as the song says, more than able to help those who come to him to become co-inheritors under the glory of God. He is more than able. But his role with respect to creation continues. He also sustains all things. He helps us to grow more in his image. We have times where we grow. We have times where we're in the desert, and we have times where we are on the mountain. He sustains us in all of those times. How many of us here today know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we need thee every hour? To me, it's not just, oh, I was saved. I know Jesus is around somewhere. No, I need him. I need him in day-to-day living. I need him to help me keep my mouth shut sometimes. I need him to get me out the bed sometimes. I need him so that I can represent the light. I need him so that the person sitting across from me in grief can be ministered to. Because it doesn't matter how much training I have. It doesn't matter how prayed up I am, how much empathy I have. What I can rely upon is that Christ in me will rise up and bring comfort to the dying, to the sick, to the hurting. I need thee every hour, every minute, every breath. And I have no shame in that. We were created to be utterly dependent upon the triune God. And we were created to be interdependent with one another. The first verse of Hebrews stresses the exalted status of the Son. But the second part of the reading, 2, 5 through 12, focuses on the lowliness of the Son and his identification with us, his brothers and sisters. The writer of Hebrews turns to Psalm 8, 4 through 6, to make his point. It is the reference to Son of Man in Psalm 8 that is the key for the writer of Hebrews. The next verse of the psalm continues, "You have made him for a little while, lower than the angels." Jesus was made lower than the angels during his time on earth, a time where our Lord came to understand us fully. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is in vain. I need thee, I need thee, I need thee every hour. The ultimate destiny of Jesus is not a status inferior to the angels. In the psalm, God covers the Son of Man with glory and honor, placing everything subject to him. Everything, all of which he created, all for whom he sacrificed his life, all under his dominion and his authority. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. How many of you believe that no matter what is going on in our word today, those rich promises he will fulfill? I believe that with all my heart, and it's getting hard to believe that. I know that, beloved. But we have to fix our eyes upon Jesus. We have to encourage one another. We have to anchor ourselves in the holy word of God. Because I hate to say this, but it's going to get a whole lot darker before he comes back for us. And that's okay. That's all right. Because we still have God the Father. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we have the church here. We're going to be okay. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to be okay. But before those rich promises in us can be fulfilled, is no less expected of us than was expected of our Savior. In humility, in submission, our Lord gave up his life for us. Are we not called to lay down our life, to lay down self daily, to die to self, to pray daily and ask our Lord, what is it you would have me do? To not respond in the flesh. And when we do, correct it as soon as possible. To respond as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown us time and time again in the Bible, to forgive, to have mercy. Imagine, brothers and sisters, how much deeper and richer and safer our lives would be if hour by hour we lived out what we say we believe. What if we admitted that we need thee, we desperately need thee? You know, I can remember reading this thing once that says, I've not gossiped. I've not sinned. I've not said anything mean. I've not had a bad thought. But I'm getting ready to put my feet on the floor now, and I might need a little help. That would be me. I need your help. What if we trusted Jesus that he would help make ends meet? That he would help us no matter what circumstances we are in, no matter how difficult it is, that he will see us through. And then what if we, as the church, reminded one another of that? Christmas Eve, several of you reminded me of that, and I thank you. That's what we are called to do, is to just remind one another of what God has said to us. It's not going to be an easy path from here on out. There's going to be joy. There's even going to be happiness. Some things will improve. A lot of things will become more difficult. We will need him every hour, breath by breath and step by step. Let us remember that we were created in his image and that we are highly valued. So no matter what happens in this world from this point out, we are children of the Most High God. Lift your head, adjust your crown, and act accordingly. Amen. And if you would, please join me in this song from Casting Crowns. Sit, stand, sing, do whatever you're